Well, you have long fingers.
Yeah, better to play the instruments with.
Jealous. I feel like Charlie's dad and like, or uncle, and like, It's Always Sunny. Just want you to put your hands on top of mine. Are we recording now?
We are.
They got all that.
Yeah. This is the best intro ever to a minisode.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
So on that note, Lou, go on, Lou.
Hey, everybody. I want to get your feedback on something. There is this article I saw the other day, just made me pretty feel ways about things. If that's a sentence. Is that a sentence?
Holy,
I don't
all
know.
The feels.
Tone it
all
down.
Tone it down a little bit. Getting a
hashtag
little too
tone it down.
In here. I didn't know if this was a thing. I know plenty of other times there's like a whole thing about a new character. Is this or isn't this? Is from a certain ethnic group or has a certain sexual preference all the time in characters. It seems like every time they do something different, there's like a big to-do about it one way or the other. And when I say like big to-do, it seems still like pretty limited to, I don't know, just super fans or whatever. I think that most people, unless someone is specifically trying to make them feel a way about something, like don't care about, you know, Peter Parker versus Miles Morales or whatever. I don't know. Some people do. I don't care. I like stories. I don't care who the character is. But this article, it was about the Iron Fist show that's coming out, I guess. Is he getting his own show, or is he going to be part of
Netflix?
Okay.
Yep.
So he's on Netflix. He's getting his own show. Saw this in my feed the other day. It's on IO9, which is usually has great entertainment news and like tech and video game news and stuff.
They're part of the whole like Kotaku thing, right?
I believe so. Yeah. But it was weird because I saw this, like, I guess editorial that says it actually really, really sucks that TV's Iron Fist is white. And it's this guy going on a rant about how they cast Danny Rand as like a white guy instead of an Asian guy. And I just didn't, it seems to me like trying to make a controversy where none exists, because that's who the character always was. And I think that Marvel, especially recently, has done so much to get different types of characters with different backgrounds and to really not just like, you know, small roles, but like really powerful roles in their comics. Like, especially like so many more women having like really substantial heroes on the storyline and everything like that. So this dude just goes on a rant about how they didn't make Danny Rand, you know, an Asian American or whatever. And I hadn't heard anybody else even care about this, because I don't know. It seemed like a non-issue to me. It's just, there's also nothing wrong with not changing a character, right? So I don't know. How do you guys feel about it? It seems like they're just trying to fan the flames to get, like clickbait or whatever.
May I?
Yeah.
You may.
All right. Iron Fist is one of my favorite superheroes. First off, this person, I understand where their heart is or where their mind is, but like you said, it just seems like clickbait. Me and Leander discussed this on a few podcasts in the past. Like, you take a movie like Gods of Egypt or something, where there should be more black people in it, that's something that makes sense. But if you take Danny Rand and make him Asian, you are switching his whole origin story of the fact that he was somewhere that he wasn't even really supposed to be, and that's part of his origin, him going to Kun Lao. And this just seems like somebody's just extremely, extremely misinformed about what the character is. You know, they kind of just on the flyby was like, Iron Fist, Chi, Asian stuff. Oh, it should be an Asian person. Where that's not really the case. And there are going to be, in this show, a huge Asian supporting cast. I don't know if that's not good enough for this person. But for me, I have no problem with this. You know, I do think, you know, sometimes actors of a certain race or a certain color don't get the due that they're supposed to get, such as taking this out of comic books, but casting Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell. That's something where I understand you know, you're casting an Asian character with a super Asian name as a white female. Danny Rand doesn't even really sound like an Asian guy, nor has he been to any of the Iron Fist comics that I've read. This is frustrating for me because I agree with you. I think Marvel has gone out of their way to make roles for all different types of ethnicities. Especially if, you know, we're just talking about Daredevil. I feel like for Elektra, they didn't go and try and find like a Latina or a white person. They found the best person for that role.
Yeah,
and I really mm-hmm. think that's what they're all about. And Marvel, who's making this series, who's spearheading this series, whose property this is, were the ones to start the talks for a Miles Morales Spider-Man movie. It was Sony who owns the rights to shut that down for at least the next 10 years. I agree. It's just clickbait. It's nothing more than that. You know, I feel like this has taken way too much precedence over what the actual point of these shows are, and that's to bring entertainment and to do justice to the show for the fans and for the people that enjoy Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I thought it was really unfair because that's, you know, like they are trying, and I think they were on record as they were in a can't win situation or something like that, which the author says is bullshit. But it kind of is true because, I mean, if you have, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because if you have people like that who are going to hold a torch for like these non-arguments or like non-issues, then of course you're in a can't win situation because like you can stay faithful to the character for the fans or you can try to appease, because no, someone could get mad no matter what, like someone's going to get mad about everything no matter what. And that's like, that's comic fans for you. Can't please them.
Now, if they were taking a character that historically was Asian and making them white, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But they're taking a character who is a white guy that went somewhere in Asia and ended up in this mystic land where he wasn't supposed to be. And that is his origin story.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really, I mean, you could switch it, but when you switch stuff like that, you end up with the early thousands Daredevil. You know, when you take all those liberties, you end up with something where these people that probably aren't that excited for the show or even really care about the show, yeah, they're happy, but your core fan base doesn't even care about this show. They don't even want to watch this show. And they might check out an episode or two on Netflix and be like, oh, cool, they got an Asian guy. But how much do they really care?
You know? I think as far as that, I think it would depend on how good it is. Like, if they did, they could have done it. You know what I mean? And if they did do it, another example, I guess, The Dark Tower. I don't know, are any guys fans of The Dark Tower?
Never read it.
Never finished it.
Dark Tower, that's fine. Don't ever finish it.
I've heard that.
You're talking about the novels, right?
Yep.
I mean, the comics were garbage, except for the first series, I think.
I've heard that too.
Oh, which was really good. The art stayed good for several of the comics. But anyway, the J. Lee stuff. Because they eventually got a guy to replace him who was like J. Lee Jr. Not really, but like trying to do exactly what J. Lee was, but just not really.
Bring in the junior.
Yeah. Like the understudy. I don't know. I feel bad. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't, you know, as good. That series, they, talking about doing the movies forever, wanted Matthew McConaughey to be the part of Roland the Gunslinger, which, like, makes a lot of sense, because, like, right now he's looking more and more like mid-age Clint Eastwood, like, every year, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he could do it. And they had, I forget the actor's name, the guy from Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Idris Elba.
Yes. How do you say it?
Idris Elba?
Mm-hmm. Idris Elba, yeah.
Am I correct in that?
Yep, no. Okay. Yeah, Idris. Yeah.
So they wanted him to be the Man in Black, like the lead antagonist, and when they read the script and they're like, let's switch it around, like they wanted to switch parts, and they were like, alright, let's go with it, like, and that's cool. If those guys felt more at home in the opposite roles, like, let's see what happens. That's fine with me, as long as the show's good, you know. But
is it a show or a movie?
Alright, the movie, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe it's gonna be probably at least a trilogy, but that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with it. So I wouldn't have had a problem probably if they made Danny Rand, you know, Asian American, but I think it's really shitty to demonize a company for not trying to predict what fans, what people would get mad at on the internet, and then, you know, bending to that.
I agree with that. I mean, I hope it, I didn't come off the wrong, like, I wouldn't have a problem with an
no, Asian Danny Rand. No, you didn't come off like that
when
at
you're
all.
Like, you're terrible. It has to be an Asian Danny Rand. Like, that's like, like, it'd be different if they're taking, you know, like, I don't know. Who's a popular white guy nowadays?
White guy.
Give me a popular white guy.
Popular white guy.
You know, you have like, what's the guy from High School Musical?
I don't even know.
Zac Efron. As
Black. Is your popular white guy?
He's pretty popular white guy. He's
like still Leonardo got DiCaprio or like.
Nah, he's kind of old news. He already got his Oscar, so we're,
yeah,
going
we're
Zac
done
Efron.
With him now. Yeah. We're done. Yeah.
Zac Efron as Black Panther. Like, that's an issue. That's not what's happening right now.
Ryan Reynolds as Black Panther. But, no, yeah, I'm totally with you. And I mean, I feel like you can't, to a certain extent, you do make fans happy, and but make the fans happy. Like, first, have creative integrity. That's like layer one of good thing. Then have fan service layered on top of that, you know. Like, once you feel you've created a good thing, do that first. Then make the fans happy, pay service to the fans. Then, if you have time, maybe worry about people on the internet. But in general, fuck those people. Sorry.
I want to add another hashtag, fuck those people. Hashtag, fuck those people. Not those people. The fans that want somebody, you know, the Asian American fans that like Iron Fist that would have liked to see that, but that aren't complaining about it, that's one thing. The only fans I really have a problem with, you know, the people that don't want to see a Black Spider-Man, or, you know, the fans that, and I actually saw an article on maybe the same website, a Kotaku-related IO9 website, that, you know, and I've talked to people before about cosplaying, and that's something I want to do coming up this year, and, you know, Iron Fist was one of my ideas. I feel like that'd be easy. The one thing I hate hearing, you know, as an African American, is like, oh, you can't be that character. He's white. Like, fuck that fan. Fuck those people. You know, we all grow up loving, idolizing these characters. You know, when you see a comic book character, when you see something that speaks to who you are as a person, you don't see the color of that person. You see their integrity. You see what makes them a hero, you know, and that's something that I see is actually a really big problem. And people say, like, oh, you can't cosplay as that person. They're white. Or, you know, as long as you're not doing, like, blackface to be Black Panther or something, be whatever character you want to be. You know, that character speaks to you for
Dude,
a reason.
But are there people, like, are there, like, cosplay elitists out there? Like,
there are,
like,
believe it or not.
Oh, so. Of course there are. Thing, oh, my God, of course there are.
Roll the
internet. Oh, God. God, I can only imagine. Just people getting like, we're just dressing up, guys. Yeah, and you're going to take it to the next level and get all serious about it.
I'm
like,
scared of the guy
God.
Who wears blackface to do Black Panther. That's a fully masked costume. Why are you wearing blackface?
I've been in character for months. But, yeah, oh, that must be the worst. And I
just like to think the guy who wrote this article was not informed.
That's what I'm thinking.
I
he
want
has
that
to be severely
because that site is normally pretty decent.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, I read all the Brubaker Iron Fist from, you know, a couple years ago,
which is probably what Netflix will be
based on. Yeah, and the Iron Fist is just like a title that gets passed down. Like, there were Iron Fists, like, I think in the first graphic novel, you see Iron Fists from like every century of all different races, and that's part of the story, and it's awesome. He just happens to be the last one in line. It's not like there can only ever be a white Iron Fist. It's just like a job. So, it's like, yeah, dude, like, shut up. Like,
yep.
Anyway.
Hashtag, yeah, dude, shut up.
All right.
So many hashtags.
So many hashtags.
No good ones yet.
So little time.
Hashtag, fuck those people.
Are we?
Yeah, let's review some books.
Let's do some books.
Books.
Who wants to go? You want to go first?
I'll go first.
You look like you want to go first.
Just because it's a perfect segue. I'm gonna go with Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah, issue number 2.
Yeah,
white Power Man, black Iron Fist. Yeah.
So, this book has a really cool feel to it. It's got a lot of action in it, but it's also a very funny book. This picks up after issue 1. They run into their old office assistant who just got out of prison. She's like, "My grandmother's necklace just got stolen. I need you guys' help to get it back. This is just one of the things that's near and dear to me. So they steal it, and they actually find out that they're stealing it from Tombstone, who's, you know, pretty notarized gangster. It's not just her grandmother's necklace. It's actually the Super Soul Stone, which I haven't heard of before, but it has a bunch of powers that, you know, Red Hood hears about it. They actually go through, they kind of do this thing where, like, you see it in, like, movies where they mention something, and they go to all these other characters, like, oh, it's one of the greatest stones out there. And then Red Hood's like, nah, I don't really think it's that much. That's why I let, you know, Mad Tinker win it, and, like, or the Mad Thinker win it in a poker game. It's really not that important. But, this picks up issue number 2, right where they find out that they actually got duped, and maybe they actually did the wrong thing. So, one of my favorite parts of this is, you know, right now, they're not heroes for hire. They're just kind of like, hey, we're going to team up for this because somebody we have a mutual respect for is in trouble and they need our help. So, Iron Fist is just like, come on, man, you remember the good old days? You remember, like, back in the day, we can get the whole team together? And Jessica Jones really doesn't like Iron Fist, so, you know, Luke is just like, I'm not really trying to do that. I have my family. I'm really happy right now. You know, he's not cursing. He's kind of got his anger in check. And he's like, you know, we can get the whole team together. He's like, you know, Danny, if you really miss somebody, putting together a superhero team isn't something you need to do. You just need to pick up a telephone. He's like, there's 10 Avengers teams out there. We don't need to be any part of this. So they're eating their lunch, and you see Tombstone men come out. And they're like, they locate Iron Fist and Power Man, and they're like, you know, they're talking to Tombstone. He's like, yeah, boss, we'll keep an eye out. He's like, did you tell him he saw him? He's like, no. He's like, why not? He's like, well, if we went in there, then we get our ass kicked, and then our boss would kick our ass for not getting the Superstone back. So, you know, we'll just tell him, you know, we saw him in passing. And right as that happens, you actually see two more villains come up, Gorilla Man and Black Tarantula come up, which starts this really badass fight in a diner where Luke just throws him through the side of the diner. You can see this, like, really cool splash page. And, like, Iron Fist is just kicking the crap out of Black Tarantula. Another really funny part that comes up is Spider-Woman and what I used to know as Spider-Gwen, who I'm guessing they're calling Spider-Woman now, too. They're watching from afar, and they're actually taking the video, which sends this hero to hire thing to the next level of them taking it, putting it up on YouTube. And Jessica Drew is just like, oh man, like they have such perfect bodies. I'm just waiting for one of these shirts to come off. Just please, please, like, just objectifying them. And you know, you get this really cool fight. Just trying to think if there's anything major that happens to this. I think the fight's kind of where it really ends at. You do get the last page where you get their assistant kind of realizing, like, look, I got these tattoos, I got all this, I did everything that you guys asked for the Super Soul Stone, nothing's happening. And the last page is her doing this incantation and getting this power up, and she's like, you know what, I'm sick of, you know, these guys could have came, they could have helped me, there was so much more they could have done if they really respected me, so I don't feel bad about leading them in this rabbit hole. And that's kind of where the book ends. I'm guessing, you know, next issue we're going to get Heroes to Hire back together. And this is a really good series. It's a little bit of everything, which I like from my Marvel books, in the same vein of a Howard the Duck, where it's not overly serious. It doesn't take itself too serious. The art style is really cool. It gives you this, like, really cool 70s, like, jiggy kind of vibe, like some sort of, like, Starsky and Hutch vibe to it. They did this book really well, and I do think they can do, each issue can go any kind of way. It can be a complete comedy issue, or it can be, like, balls-to-the-wall action. Definitely add this. I'm thinking, like, a solid, if I'm giving a numerical rating, like, an 8 for this book.
Nice. Got a book, Luke?
I do, but I'll go in the middle, because I only have one.
Okay. I only got one, too.
Then I'll go last.
All right, then. Well, I have two, but one that I'm going to actually...
You lied!
I'm just going to say real quick, I read The Shadow Glass by Dark Horse. Shadow Glass number 1, it's a miniseries. It was pretty good, but it's not, like, the most amazing book to review. It's one of those ones where, when you read it as a whole, it might be really good. It might be very good when it's out in trade. But right now, I didn't really think it was a lot to talk about. But what I do have is The Adventures of Archer and Armstrong from Valiant. And Archer and Armstrong is a weird, eclectic duo where Armstrong is immortal, and he's been a drunk and screwing up things for millennia, and Archer is... He's probably the best character in the book because he refuses to curse, and some of the dialogue that he has because he refuses to curse is hilarious. It starts with an intro where you find out Armstrong's past with his brother. He has this bag that is pretty much Felix the Cat's bag where you can just keep putting things in it infinitely.
Or Zelda, or Link.
Yes. So they're beating up, like, mafia goons back in, like, the 20s or something, and they're putting... He's, like, just stealing the wine and the booze and putting it in his infinite bag. And there's a locket that ends up going missing throughout the story, and he realizes it's somewhere in his bag. So he actually climbs into his bag and goes to look for it and leaves a note like, "Hey, I'll be back." And Archer just thinks he's, like, you know, fucking off. So they monsters start climbing out of the bag, and like fishmen and like weird monsters. And Archer just beats the crap out of them. He's like, "What is this? What am I doing?" And they're like, "I don't know. We've never been able to escape the bag." So he goes into the bag after him. It's huge. It's like a whole world, and he goes to try to find him. And I won't go into too much detail beyond that. It's very silly. I've never read Archer and Armstrong from the rebooted Valiant. A lot of people said it was funny. It is funny. It was pretty good. Very different. Very weird. And I would like to check out more going forward. Valiant I really like. I've read some of their serious stuff. I tend to like their funny stuff better, like Quantum and Woody in this. Just a weird book. Very weird book, but it was fun.
I just have so many memories of when we opened the comic book store. Just...
so much
rows and rows and rows of Archer and Armstrong from like the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
It's a weird book, but it's a pretty good book. If I had to give it a numerical score, I would probably say it's like a 7. I don't think it's for everybody, but if you like that kind of comedy book, it's great. It's very weird.
Now, is it something where it's like comedy blended with that action, or is it
there's
mainly...
tons of action. Okay. There are people getting the crap kicked out of them the whole time. There's these little goblins that live in his bag that are like underlings, and he goes when Archer goes after them, he's like breaking their fingers and like, "Look, we're just goblins, like leave us alone." He's probably through that door. We never go through that door. He'll murder us if we go through that door. So it's just weird. It's just weird and different, and you know, it's probably worth checking out if you like humor and action fused together.
Nice.
All right, I guess we'll
go. Just do it, man.
All right, I go. I'm going. All right. This is a vintage review.
Whoa!
And I gotta say that I did not get this book at 30 North Main Street, the comic book store in Glassboro, New Jersey. Actually, there's a guy outside the Brooklyn Planet Fitness who sells comics on Saturday. He's got four long boxes.
Very specific.
Hold on, how buff is this guy?
He's not buff. Mm. Oh, I can't see. He's got a really big jacket on. It's pretty cold to be out all day selling comics. But I'll give him a plug. So if you're ever in front of the Brooklyn Planet Fitness near Bushwick, look for the three long boxes of 50 Cent comics. You're not going to find
the audio is going to get lost.
Oh yeah, I can't plug that guy.
No, that's fine.
Anyway, so he's found cool. This gem in there. This is True.
Oh yeah,
True Crime Comic Special Number 2: Apocalypse in Waco, which is by Eclipse Comics, came out in 1993, and this is the story of...
a man having a flaming orgasm.
This is David Koresh, who you may remember as the leader of the Branch Davidian sect in Waco, Texas, that got raided by the ATF in 1993. Or 92, I guess.
I'm sorry, kids, you're going to learn something.
Yeah, you're going to learn something.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, this is a true story. This is the kind of shit you cannot make up. Like, this shit is legit nuts.
I really thought that was Weird Al Yankovic on the
cover. So did I.
I saw Waco.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It does look like Weird Al. I guess this is kind of what he looked like. All I remember, like, as I guess this happened when I was in, what, like, third or fourth grade or something. I just remember this picture it has on the cover of this, like, compound just burning in the desert, like, on news, like, repeat 24/7 growing up. And I never really knew. I knew the name David Koresh, and I knew all that stuff, but I was like, you know what, for 50 cents, I'm going to learn a little bit more. So I bought the comic, and, yeah, it's not too badly done. I mean, they take some, like, silly liberties with, like, him growing up, you know, David Koresh growing up, his real name's something else. And then they get into how the how he basically had this cult in this compound in Waco, Texas, where he was, like, you know, recruiting, you know, typical cult leader stuff. He thought he was, you know, the second coming, and he was recruiting all these people, and they were just stockpiling massive amounts of weapons in this place for, like, the final showdown. And so the ATF raided the place. But there was, like, all these women and children in there, and they were just, like, outgunned the first time they tried to do it. It was, like, two of the cultists died and four of the ATF agents died, in this huge firefight. And then they were like, well, that was a bad idea. So they had, like, a 30 or 60 day standoff, like, where he just basically had everyone in there at ransom. They didn't want to raid it because they knew how much firepower they were packing. But, you know, no one was budging, and eventually they were going to raid it. They went in with smoke bombs to sort of, like, try to smoke everybody out, and they just, no one, I guess they don't really know what happened, but it seems like the cultists just, like, torched and burned the place, and they were just like, we won't be taken alive. But, no, I guess no one really knows what happened in there. But anyway, the whole place caught on fire. Crazy story. Lots of people died. It's nuts. That's nuts. So I gotta say, I learned a lot for 50 cents.
That's awesome.
Wow. Awesome. Who was, like, you know, a good format for this is a comic book.
Yeah.
Like, that's just bizarre.
Because you're not, I mean, I'm sure there's books about this guy, but you don't really need to give this dude, like, a whole book, because it's pretty much your, like, stock, like, I'm Jesus, come back and risen, you know, like, end times apocalypse cult leader type scenario. So it gives you just enough background, and then it just gets to the, it gets to the action. And I guess it's kind of, yeah, it's very interesting stuff. Really sad, you know, they had what he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got Janet Reno in here. All the stars.
Whoa, Janet Reno. Oh. The Janet Reno.
The Janet Reno. Yeah, so, you know, interesting read.
That's great, man. That's awesome. You can't top that. I'm sorry. We're going to cut that, the mini-sode.
That's fine, yeah.
Because no one can top that. What would you give it on a numerical scale?
On a numerical scale, I would say probably a 7.
7?
Like, it could have been written a little better. I mean, the art's good enough for what it is. It's not bad art. It's black and white. But it really tells the story. It, you know, it combines action scenes with, like, facts of what happened, you know, at the end. So, I guess if you're going to do something like this, that's pretty much the way to do it. And, of course, it says the end with a question mark, because a lot of the bodies were never found or identified. Like, a lot of them were just considered missing. Mm-hmm. So, the end question mark, I guess, remains to be seen.
Craziness. Well, thank you for listening. Lou, thank you for the classic gem. and everybody died horribly in a fire.
The end.
Yeah.
And thank you for checking us out. Go to our YouTube. Full experience. All that jazz.
The end?
The end.